In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus describes what the world will be like during the end times. He warns that because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Whose love is it that will grow cold? And why will this happen? That's our topic here on Foreshadows Report. Welcome to Foreshadows Report, a podcast dedicated to helping people grow in their understanding of Bible prophecy and its relevance to their lives today. This is Steve Miller. In this episode, we're going to look at a key point Jesus made in Matthew 24 as he taught the disciples about the end times. In this passage, Jesus not only talks about wars and famine and earthquakes and the abomination of desolation, he also talks about what people will be like, and he paints a bleak picture. Let's take a closer look now at what he says. In Matthew 24:12, we read that during the end times, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. These words have always caught my attention whenever I read them. That's because they paint such a dark picture of what people will be like. Recently, someone I know called my attention to these words again, and we both wanted a better understanding of what this is all about. Surprisingly, if you look at Bible commentary, they don't say much about this verse. They comment a bit about lawlessness, but then they say very little or nothing about how the love of many will grow cold. Maybe it's because the language is so direct that commentators don't think this needs any explanation. But whenever I read Matthew 24:12, that's the part of the verse that stands out to me, because God didn't design for humans to be cold toward one another. We're meant to be relational. We're meant to communicate with one another and interact. It is God who created the marriage relationship and family relationships. He designed us for close interaction and to support and love and care for one another. And God also created the church. God makes every believer a vital part of the body of Christ. We are designed to complement one another, and we are gifted in ways that enable us to help one another, support one another, and encourage one another. If mankind had never fallen into sin, all our interactions with one another would be fabulous. There would be no friction between people, no animosity or disagreement or strife. All of our interactions would be characterized by the love that comes from God Himself. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. One verse earlier, we're told that love is from God. And Genesis 1:27 tells us we are created in God's image. Because we are created in God's image, and because God is love, that means we were created to love others. And in fact, Jesus said in Matthew 22:39 that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. The first greatest commandment is that we're to love God, and the second is that we're to love others. But all that changed with mankind's fall into sin. In the Garden of Eden, God warned Adam and Eve that sin would separate them from Him and would lead to death. The consequences of Adam and Eve's sin is that all of mankind has been separated from God, which also means we've been separated from His love. We are no longer capable of showing love the way He intended for us to. One of the most damaging effects of sin is that it causes people to be selfish. Keep in mind that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, they were saying, "God, we love ourselves more than we love You." It was their self-love, their selfishness, that brought down the entire human race into sin. They told God, We reject your rule over our lives, and we choose to rule over ourselves. They rejected his loving authority and replaced it with their own. To reject God's rightful place over our lives and to disobey him is to sin, and it is sin that separates us from God as well as his love. It is because of sin that the image of God within us has become damaged and distorted. Sin has also distorted our understanding of love and how we express it. Instead of possessing a godly love for others, we have a selfish love for self. The Apostle Paul talked about these two different kinds of love in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verses 2 through 4. There we read about how in the last days, people will be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Ultimately, that's what everything comes down to. People are either lovers of self or lovers of God. Sin has distorted God's design for us as humans. We're meant to love him and other, but instead, we love ourselves. Now let's go back to Matthew 24:12. We read that because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. What is this verse telling us? Let's begin by looking at the bigger context. Let's back up to verse 9 and start reading from there. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. There's a lot happening here. Those who love God will be persecuted and put to death. They will be hated for Christ's sake. And there will be many who fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And false prophets will lead people astray. This describes a world filled with hatred and betrayal and deception, to the point that those who follow God will face severe persecution and death. Now, put that thought on hold for a moment. We're going to take a couple minutes to look at the context again. At the beginning of Matthew 24, in verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And starting in verse 4, Jesus describes what will happen before his return. Now, if you walk very carefully through Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14, you will notice everything Jesus describes about the signs before his return lines up with what Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 12, say about the first part of the seven-year tribulation. Both Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 talk about false messiahs. What we read about false Christ in Matthew 24 lines up with the false Christ on the white horse in Revelation 6:2, which is the first seal judgment. Both Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 talk about war. The wars and rumors of war in Matthew 24 lines up with the unleashing of wars all over the world in the second seal judgment in Revelation 6. Both chapters talk about strife, which is also part of the second seal judgment in Revelation 6. Both chapters talk about famines, which is part of the third and fourth seal judgments in Revelation 6. And both talk about earthquakes. In Revelation 6, we read about how earthquakes will be part of the sixth seal judgment. So the events in Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 are strikingly parallel. They are virtually identical, which seems to be a strong indicator that the signs Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 24 are all events that will occur during the first part of the seven-year tribulation. Now, even though the tribulation had not started yet, we can expect that the closer we get to the tribulation, the more the events of that time period will cast shadows into our day. Right now, we are trending more and more toward what life will be like during the tribulation. Even now, as we look around us, we can see lawlessness on the increase and persecution and hatred also on the rise. We are trending toward the world described by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, a world in which lawlessness is increasing and in which the love of many will grow cold. Now let's zero in on the specifics in Matthew 24:12. The closer we get to the end times, the more lawlessness will increase. We are definitely seeing a rise in lawlessness all around us, aren't we? Lawlessness is getting out of control. The word Jesus used for lawlessness literally means without law. People will have no moral compass at all. They will have no desire to obey God. They will do the complete opposite. People will be completely and utterly bankrupt from a spiritual standpoint. They will have no sense of right and wrong. In a lawless world, everything will be turned upside down from what God intended. People will hate what is good, and they will embrace what is evil. We're seeing a lot of lawlessness right now. People used to do their evil behind closed doors, and now they do it in the open. Rebellion against authority is widespread. Protesters and rioters who burn down buildings and commit violence in the name of social justice are never brought to justice. No bail laws turn criminals back on the streets just a few hours after they've been arrested. Smash and grab crimes have become widespread. Businesses have had to close or to move because in many cities, crime and violence has gotten so far out of hand. Cities are cutting back their police support and are no longer prosecuting so-called lesser crimes because they just don't have the time. Defund the police movements have gutted police departments, which are understaffed and overwhelmed. We're seeing a growing number of attorney generals who refuse to prosecute crime or who downgrade sentences. In today's world, criminals have more rights than their victims. And a major reason many crimes aren't being dealt with properly is because people fear being branded as uncaring or bigoted or racist. This explosion of lawlessness is visible in the government and the courts as well. Corruption and deception abound. Those who are called to create and enforce laws fairly, without prejudice, are using their power to advance their own agenda and silence everyone who disagrees with them. Very simply, sin and evil are becoming more rampant. They are the new normal. They are becoming the rule and not the exception. And in Matthew 24:12, Jesus tells us what this lawlessness will lead to. At the same time that lawlessness increases, the love of many will grow cold. Love will diminish. People won't care for others. They will only care for themselves. What will a world in which love has grown cold look like? I believe 2 Timothy 3 describes that world perfectly. In verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul tells us, "In the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." As you read those words, you cannot help but realize this is what people will be like when their love grows cold. This makes sense because they are separated from God and they are separated from His love. They are incapable of demonstrating His kind of love. As this passage says, they will be heartless, they will be ungrateful, they will be brutal, and they will not love good. This is the direction our world is headed, and this is why it's so important for us to respond by shining God's love to those around us. In a world where human love is growing cold, the godly kind of love you and I can show as Christians is needed more than ever. To shine God's love into the darkness around us is one of the greatest ways we can minister to a lost world. As we see the love of people growing cold, Bible passages like Matthew 5:44 take on greater urgency There, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." In Romans 12, verses 17 through 21, we read this: "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's a powerful exhortation. Overcome evil with good. That's what God has called us to do. In a world where love is growing cold, we need to keep our love warm. Jesus himself is the ultimate role model of showing love in the face of evil all the way to the very end. Even as he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." 1 Peter 2:21 tells us we're to imitate his example. Peter wrote, "To this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." As lawlessness increases and love decreases, we need more than ever to show God's kind of love. We need to make it visible to those around us. We need to make Christianity attractive so that people will be drawn to God. In a world that is lacking love, the kind of love we have to offer will get noticed. As Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Thank you for joining us for this episode of Foreshadows Report. Nowadays, every time I read Matthew 24:12, I am convicted of the need to make sure that I am making a deliberate effort to show God's kind of love to the people around me, and my hope is that you are encouraged to do the same. As the world's love decreases, our love needs to increase. One of the frequent themes of Bible prophecy is that it not only tells us what will happen in the future, but it also informs us of how we are to live today. That's one of the major focal points of my book, One Day Nearer. In the book are 365 devotions that look at past prophecies and future prophecies, and all through the book, I share about how these prophecies are meant to help us know how to live today. It's amazing how practical prophecy is and how it's designed to give us wisdom and insight for everyday living. That's evident in what we just learned now about the love of many growing cold. Scripture exhorts us to respond by showing God's kind of love. To find out more about the book One Day Nearer, you can go to my website, stevemillerresources.com. There, you'll find out how to order the book through different retailer. Also, in addition to these weekly podcasts, I post updates daily on Telegram Messenger channel. If you'd like to stay connected on a daily basis, you'll want to subscribe to Foreshadows Report on Telegram. At my website, there's a link for that. Just go to the home page at stevemillerresources.com and scroll to the bottom. There, you'll see a link to my post in Telegram. Thank you again for joining me as we keep watch and find hope in God's prophetic promises. And I'm grateful to Harvest House Publishers for supporting this podcast.